calling the meeting to order of the Lincoln County Fair Board on this Thursday, March 10th. And let the minutes show that all board members are present and that we are signing the minutes, having all seen them and approved them as distributed and giving them to Tanya. And now let's talk to OSU Extension and 4-H update.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I don't have a lot to report. I've been gone out of state for the better part of the last 3 weeks at two different 4-H events that took me to the Florida Everglades and Keys, and then immediately to Fairbanks, Alaska. So I've been traveling. Yeah, it's been
coast to coast.
Exactly. Luckily, I had a stop here for 2 days to switch out shorts for down jackets, so I didn't have to carry it all with me. 4-H is clicking along. Our animal science program is ramping up. Next month will be beef weigh-in. We'll be getting the scale put in place and calibrated by Weights and Measures. It appears as though we will have a steer or two again. We've been sort of on that threshold of are we going to have beef or not, and it sounds like we at this point tentatively have a plan to have at least one and possibly two. So excited to see things getting ramped up in that regard. And then we have Dippity U coming up in May as well, our large sheep shearing event. I just had to change the date of that because the shearers were not available, but Amy said that the date is open, so that'll be now May 28th. So we'll have a big event in the indoor horse barn, indoor horse arena at that point. Michelle asked if we had a position statement yet on flags and other paraphernalia, specifically in light of a vendor that's asking to bring tobacco pipes to the county fair. So just a refresher. I don't expect that to be now, but I think we had some discussion 5 or 6 months ago about the Confederate flag and sort of a position that maybe we were going to research what other fair boards and counties had done and come up with a position that we were comfortable on what if anything we want to exclude or how we do that legally.
Are you working on that, Mr. Belmont?
Yes, I am. I had some discussions with some of my fellow council. Said, when you get your research done, would you share it with us?
Everybody's to go.
Everyone's in the same boat.
It's not just
sure.
That, it's also the question of marijuana.
Yeah.
And that's what really kind of kicked this.
Marijuana and animals, they'll be legal.
It's all we're, yeah. We need to, before the fair comes up, and I think several months before the fair comes up, we need to establish those policies. So, in fact, at this point, this is the March meeting. I'll have something in either April or May that we'll look at some specific policies we can adopt.
One of the reasons that's potentially more time pressing or needs to be timelier than that is that we have vendors right now asking to be part of the fair, and we don't know whether to tell them they can or cannot, or what they can or cannot bring.
I think we made a determination on the marijuana because it's consistent with county policy. You can't do that. So you can bring in information. You cannot bring in any marijuana or marijuana paraphernalia.
Okay.
But that's the county position.
Let me ask the question. I mean, if you're selling a pipe, you can probably smoke tobacco in that pipe. You can smoke other things in that pipe.
Yeah.
I mean, a pipe's a pipe, right?
No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but...
Well, certain pipes are only designed for certain...
But you got to know smoking on the grounds policy.
Right.
Specifically vending the paraphernalia. So Michelle's counterpart to that is, aside from the pipes and the potential nefarious uses, what if we have a sex shop that wants to come sell sexually explicit items? Where do we draw the line?
Yeah, that's fine.
But yeah, and I think that was the real question is where do we set those standards and where have other counties set those standards already. So if we could just know sooner rather than later, we do have vendors asking right now if they can come on board. So just a general reminder.
Okay.
And the other thing that I have to report is that I finally just yesterday got the blessing from OSU to do the equestrian riding passes. So we are insured. We do have that in place. I will work with Mr. Belmont to make sure that liability-wise, everything is in order. We will get a schedule published shortly and start allowing the public use of that arena again, or that venue again. So I'm happy. I'm sorry that's taken so long. It was a little bit of a difficult sell to get the university to think that far outside the box, but they're, when they realize that potentially could be a fundraiser for my Leaders Association, they're happy to support the program. Super. So, yeah.
Okay. Last meeting we talked about doing really basically some minimal utility work, some electrical and water for vendors, and also water for the 4-H building, and I see Jack is here, so where are you guys at with that project? To my knowledge, that's approved, and you can go ahead with that.
I've concentrated on the plumber this first round. We had a miraculous increase in water pressure.
Once the leak was fixed?
Well, all of a sudden we had 4 water mains burst, and the grounds is not looking too hot in some places. My skill on heavy equipment is not what it used to be. But we have repaired and replaced a couple of water lines, and while we're digging in the mud, we have got about 12 frost-free spigots coming in on the perimeter fences.
Excellent.
And I have, we're going to run a new 2-inch line from the Harney building all the way through. The problem with the Harney building in the corner is that the water lines under the Harney building are all galvanized and they're just in terrible shape, but we will get good high flow spigots throughout. A total of 12 of them going all the way to the riding arena and then going around backwards to focus. So we'll have that, and then the electrical will be next.
Well, your intent was is that the food vendors along that fence line would have water that would enable them to meet the health standards and so forth. They would have a good electrical supply, so they would be down at lunchtime, and there would be adequate water over to the
livestock barn.
Yeah. And last time we talked, the estimate to do that was 50 or perhaps a little less. Are we still there? I mean, if it's going to be a little more,
it's going to be a little more. I'm already close to 10,000 on the water, and the electrical, of course, is going to be more. The research we've done so far on the electrical, we were originally going to upgrade all of the exterior RV plugs to 50 amp, but I don't have enough to do that. So instead of that, we're going to create more of the spider whips, the breakout boxes, and we're going to break those at 30 amp rather than 50, because they you can order them at 50 or 30. And so we're just going to make more of those whips broke at 30 in order to bring power out.
So remind me last year, because I'm now fuzzy 6 months removed, what we were when we divided those boxes last year, wasn't 30 amps not enough to service the vendors and they were blowing breakers?
The RV plugs are enough, but most vendors with a cart, they have no problem. It's the vendors in the middle, the ones that don't have a cart that, say, bring their hot plates and their drink dispensers and such, and then they try to power them with just a standard 110 plug and an extension cord. The way we're going to do it now is, if there's a vendor, say, further from the fence, they will be able to plug in one of these whips, and then that will give them not only a 30-amp plug, but it'll give them 4 110s all broke separately. They can distribute the load better.
When we changed the breakers, made those Ys and changed the breakers last year, what were the breakers breaking at? 30, weren't they?
The 10 outlets break at 15.
At 15.
Right. On, and but remember, they're outside, so they have to be on a GFO.
Not the 110, the 220 stuff.
The 220s break at 30.
We were blowing breakers And did we change those from 50 to 30 last year when you
put those wires in? We don't have enough total capacity to upgrade those to 50.
To all the 50, there's not enough room in the panel.
But by creating these spider boxes, what I can do is I can distribute the load across a larger section.
Yeah.
So okay. Instead of five vendors all on one 30-amp plug, I can have three 30-amp plugs that reach all five vendors. So now we're going to spread the load out.
If I might interrupt, what's from your standpoint, what's the difference between shooting for the maximum versus, is it really a big dollar difference?
Jack, you have to answer the question.
I'm not sure what you're asking.
This issue of 30 versus 50 amps when you're going to risk having a vendor who has a greater demand.
To upgrade those plugs to 50 amps, you have to have that available at the source.
The source, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the front end.
We maxed, the last time we did an upgrade, we maxed the system. We distributed, you know, you have X, which is, say, 400 amps of available service. We distributed that out throughout the grounds on 30-amp sections.
Okay.
To bring that back to 50, obviously I'd have to take two 30s and take them out of service to service 150. And that doesn't do us any good because now you have one vendor with a 50-amp plug and everybody else is without.
And you're starting really, we're talking about starting at the distribution box. Where your 400
right.
is. You got to work from.
And so, you'll see an improvement because the old distribution boxes will be replaced with newer ones. The old breakers may not have broke at their max of 30. They may have been breaking at 20.
Oh, good.
So let you and I work together, but what I'm remembering is that several of those trailers came with one 50-amp plug that ran their entire trailer. And because we had eliminated 50-amp circuits and wired those into 230s, we couldn't even easily get them the 50 amps they needed.
Well,
because we had taken all the 50
the
amps out.
The industry standard is 30. Now, if they come with a 50-amp plug, when I was working with them, what I tended to see is they will come with a 30 and a 50. The industry standard is 30.
Okay.
But if they can squeeze 50 out of you, they will.
Let you and I work together. If we can recreate what we changed last year, because that system didn't work, when we downrated those breakers, we didn't have enough amperage at several of the trailers to do what we wanted. And because of that,
the trouble calls that I came out on, a lot of them were not the fact that they didn't have enough amperage, it was that their equipment was malfunctioning. And they immediately wanted to throw the blame on us. Yeah. One person's hot plates and his cookers were shorting out.
Yeah.
And there's no capacity that I can possibly give them that's going to fix that.
All right, well, we could talk about the minutiae of it all day. But
yeah.
The gist of it is, you guys can work together, that's a good suggestion. You may have to talk to some of the vendors, but the intent is they have that water line along the fence line, so they've got water that meets health standards, and that they've got electrical wherever those vendors are going to set, whether it's 30 or 50 or whatever it is you have to do, so that we don't have the kind of outage that we had Saturday lunch hour last year, and that we have adequate water over at the livestock thing. Whatever it takes to get there. Now, I know you gave, initially we talked about 50, but that did not include the water over at the livestock building. So we know that we're probably going to be into it for a little bit more than that. But I'm just going to tell you guys, whatever it takes to get this done, so that this fair event, we do not have those three problems happen again. And if it runs somewhat over 50, because again, we didn't originally consider the water over at the livestock building, fine. But let us have those things in place so that this fair event does not suffer that same sort of problem. We just can't stand that.
Right.
Yeah.
And whatever it takes, you know, you guys work it out. Whatever it takes, let's get it done.
Thank you.
Next.
That's all I have.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Transient lodging tax update.
Board of Commissioners moved it to the May ballot, so it is one of the measures on the May ballot, and again, it's proposing 1% increase on the lodging tax for properties outside of the incorporated cities. And we see the results of the election and move forward from there. I think, although the Board of Commissioners didn't take formal action, I think I've sensed, and I'd like Mr. Belmont to weigh in because he's been present at all the meetings, but at least an informal consensus on two things, that if the measure does pass in May, then we will move forward pretty quickly with the recapitalization plan. Would you agree with that?
Well, again, making sure it ties back into the ultimate plans.
Right.
Yes, but
right.
It puts it back on the table. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think at least the consensus was because even if the measure passes, it's still going to be several years before
right.
we've generated sufficient revenue, and the city has generated its urban renewal money that we have to keep the grounds functional
right.
for the next few years. So I think that would move forward, and then also I think fairly quickly we would move forward on securing a firm and doing a process to really start crystallizing the vision beyond the new exhibit hall, what the rest of it looks like.
That's okay. If the measure passes.
Yes.
We still are going to have this interim period with
yes.
respect to the utilities.
Yes.
So if the measure passes, we will move ahead, if I understand you correctly.
You don't have an ironclad commitment, but I sense from the board that they see it makes sense to do that.
And if the measure fails, is there also a general consensus that we will continue to keep the grounds, we'll move ahead again with recapitalization to keep the grounds usable for the foreseeable future? Or
that I'm really not sure about. I think that's a discussion that the board doesn't want to have until they have to have it, and hopefully
okay.
the feeling is that we won't, but, you know.
Well, I understand.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I understand there's nothing,
yeah.
you know, guaranteed here or anything, but just for myself and like Jack and
yeah.
Todd and so forth, so we have a sense of what we're looking at
yeah.
for the future is why
yeah.
I asked.
Well, I'm still keeping the really optimistic view that it passes, and then I would say then you know, once you get the final go-ahead from BOC to launch the recapitalization plan, you can start getting bids, lining up vendors, and hopefully right after you strike the fair at the end of August, if contractors are available, we start getting them on the grounds, and if there are any lesser things that could be done even in advance of the fair, maybe even look at doing that, although
yeah.
I know that's going to be a pretty tight timeline between May and...
It might be possible to look at things such as the restrooms, the portable restrooms.
Are you...
Yeah.
Are you... you know, frankly, if we wait until May, our chances of getting substantial portion of the recapitalization,
yeah.
we do that
no,
in the summer, are pretty minimal
yeah.
because of the permitting and other
right.
requirements, but that does lead me to ask Mr. Belmont if we're making any progress on straightening up the property issue that I discussed, you know, with the city and the school district, so that everyone has, if you will, control of the property that you're using, and of course, we need that for permitting and so forth.
Yeah.
Are we making any progress in that?
Well, we have at this point. What we've got is we actually know for sure where things are.
I know.
Yeah. No, we have not. We had our joint meeting with the city. We've been discussing, and this is actually one of many property issues that we have between the city of Newport and Lincoln County, and road issues, because it's also entails the road out there. So it's on our list. This will be our highest priority if we, as we move things forward. We need to resolve it directly. We need to resolve that no matter what happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where does the city's... urban renewal issue fall in terms of, say, the ballot measure fails versus the ballot measure passes? At what point, in other words, we
they
know...
They made no decisions with that.
Right, but what I think the public has been left with, if I'm not mistaken, is that there's at least one person on the city council who calls into question whether that commitment is...
And he didn't call into question. What calls into question is whether it's a done deal. His whole thing is process.
What
he's saying is that there is a process to go through to finalize and make the money available. Refinement of those things.
Until that happens, it's not official
that it's... they're not going to write us a check tomorrow.
Right, but the fact that it's on the list means that, it's... in the pipeline. It's as advanced to the furthest stage.
It's as advanced as anything else in the urban renewal plan.
It's as certain as anything else in that plan. I think that's a fair way to look at it. And then, I hate to play the what ifs because perhaps then we could have a conversation with the city if the major fails and if we do still have the million plus banked plus the ongoing revenue stream from that. Maybe we talk about building a smaller building with capacity for expansion, for example. I mean, that's just the kind of thing that we could explore, but I'm real hopeful that we don't have to go down that route. And related to the election, because I think our conversation will be very different depending on the outcome of the election, do you have the May calendar handy, Tanya? I'm thinking our normal date would probably be May 12th, is it?
I think it is.
The second Tuesday. Could I suggest if it would work for us to move the meeting to May 19th, which would be 2 days after the election?
That's a good idea.
That I think we would be much better prepared to see what the next steps are on all of the things we've been talking about. Does that make sense to everybody?
It does. I'm in agreement with that. I would like to have the next fair board meeting, the May fair board meeting scheduled for...
The 19th.
If we vote on the 17th, it will be scheduled for the 19th, so we'll be able to know the outcome.
Thursday, May 19th instead of
May 12th. I'm in full agreement with that.
Okay.
I don't see any sense on meeting the Thursday before the election.
Right.
And then waiting a full month to get into June.
Right.
Okay. All right. County staff update. Maybe you could start with that little plaque right there.
Oh, yes.
Oh, CIS.
We actually, the annual CIS conference, CIS is City County Insurance Services, and we participate in insurance with them for our liability auto. The county participates for a whole variety of other lines of insurance. But we received a plaque that signifies that we have been a member since 1991.
Wow.
With this group. And I want to say that the services CIS provides, they do especially do a lot of proactive work in risk management. And you may recall that CIS was very instrumental in helping us on issues around our bleachers, doing some investigations and advice on what we can do with that. They've assisted us on a number of other projects. They do, if not an annual, a very regular periodic review of the grounds. Looking for issues out there. They insure a number of fairgrounds actually across Oregon, so are active in advising fairs on things they can do to minimize liability. So this is just a recognition that we've been there now for 25 years.
Excellent.
Very good.
A couple other quick updates and then we'll turn over to see if Jack and Amy have anything. But number one is we've been working, and I appreciate Todd, Michelle, and all the folks at OSU putting together the new arrangements we've got here in a formal basis, and that includes the agreement we've got with the fair itself for the fair event, but also examining how we're running the finances through this thing. And actually, we're having a meeting today. Staff's having a meeting today to kind of go through all that stuff and finalize what the arrangement looks like. And in the process of doing that, we're also going to put together our budget for next year. And we talked about we need to have the budget recognize the potential, at least, for the additional revenue that will come in for the room tax, the additional room tax. So we're making sure that's all going to be covered. So I just want to give you the heads up that that's all being brought into the fold, and we're getting that ready to go and have things available for us next year if and when things move forward, whatever that might be. So we're making sure that's happening there. Second thing I want to talk about is I have been looking at, again, and working with the County Surveyor's Office on, I would like to finalize and come to you in April, our arrangements for the signage. Again, I've had discussions with the city about whether to do a lease or a license. We haven't finalized that yet, but I've got formats for both. I've got a license. So we did a license with the city of Newport, actually, for the wind tower. Mm-hmm. So we've got, they know that process, and they may want
for
to
For the which?
Wind we have a wind tower that's out on in North Newport. And we've done leases with Newport, too. So I'm going to work with the city attorney. In fact, I'm meeting with him tomorrow on some other matters. And I'll talk to him again about what's the preferred way of doing that. But putting that forward and then getting our finalization on our design of what we want to do out there and working out any details for that so we can try to get the sign in place before the fair event. Yeah. I think that would be a great thing to have going on here. I will note there are some issues, and actually wearing a different hat, that for me, at least, being on the board with the Oregon Coast Council for the Arts and some of the things, we're going to do a letter of support. I think we talked about this previously, a letter of support for some changes in the sign code that the city has that I think would better utilize this resource once it's out there. I don't know that there's any really negative positions on that thing, but it isn't yet in the hopper yet to make those changes. But I think the changes that OCCA is seeking would benefit the fair sign, too. Mm-hmm. So,
is this the timing issue?
Timing issue.
Yeah, okay.
You know, how long can they be up there? What do you do? So.
And the other is the choice that was made at the PAC with regard to the television screens versus the more commercial.
Well, that'll be something that you as a fair board will have to kind of, you know, tell us what is it you want for a sign. We're not looking at the same signs they've got. That's what made my understanding.
Right.
When we were looking at this originally, we're not looking for the same kind of signs that they've got down on in Night Beach. It will do something different.
So with that, in that regard then, is it all right with the board if I go forward and get some preliminary information?
I think what we need, what I'm going to suggest we need to do, we're going to have to put this out for quotes or something, you know, to do this. So what we do need is sort of the outline of what is it we do want.
Yeah.
Okay. Both size-wise, and we've talked about this a little bit, but we just tend to gear that back up, both, you know, size-wise features, you know, what comports with the code the city has, what are we allowed to do, and what do we want to do up there. The one element I do want to say that I have heard from the city is, and then we'll have to talk about it, is the policy for the use of the sign.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this is the fair, you know, sign, so the first and foremost will be advertising the fair out there. But there may be opportunities for other community events, for instance. And I think the city was sort of interested in looking at that as saying, as an entrance, as a major entrance to the city, can we do other community events out there?
So community bulletin board. Mm-hmm.
Sort of a community bulletin board.
Yeah, as long as the fair and other uses at the commons have priority.
Well, they have. They will.
I'm fine with that.
They will.
So now, is that a fair board issue or is that a county commissioner issue?
Well, I think it's a combination.
I think we should both have input.
Yeah.
Okay.
And who knows, because they're still looking for a permanent resolution for the farmers market, and I know they don't want to move the summer market back to the commons,
yeah.
But perhaps if
signage and
if there was a very prominent sign there that said Lincoln County Commons, home of the Newport Farmers Market, perhaps, I don't know, they might find that a little more attractive because, you know, they've agreed to one more year in the same location, but it really doesn't sound like anybody sees that as a long-term solution. So,
I would just add that both of you, if you take some time mm-hmm. to stand at that corner for more mm-hmm. than 10 minutes, and
mm-hmm.
One of the issues is that Sherwin-Williams sign.
Oh, yes.
Just be aware of whether or not the decision has to be one of a scale.
Oh, yeah.
It may be.
Because that might be, you know, unpleasant. I don't think we would ever ask them to remove the sign. I don't think that would be in the cards. But we'd have to counter it in
mm-hmm.
some.
It'd have to be a pretty bold
statement. Well, I would say counter as much as compliment.
Compliment, yeah.
Yeah.
Is what we want to do. So anyway, I think it's time to, and Frank has been kind of the lead on behalf of the fair board.
And I'm comfortable with Frank continuing to do that with you.
I'll have the legal side of it covered, and then we just have to do both the policy and the practical.
Yeah, my only comment at this point is, having watched the process play out at City Center and at PAC, I think we ignored the advice of YESCO at our peril, because the net effect was that they sent people to Las Vegas to do research and ended up with a sign that was, for all intents and purposes, useless during the daytime, especially on sunny days.
You think about the
reflection signs. Issue.
Yeah, the reflection issue was...
So anyway, a lot of careful thought needs to be put into it.
I will first raise my hand and say, when it comes to the technical side of this thing, and what's the best kind of sign to put out there, I haven't a clue.
Yeah, so. Okay.
And I'm okay also with Frank continuing to take the lead on this.
Okay.
Moore County staff update.
Just what I alluded to earlier, we had a dramatic increase in water pressure from the county gas pumps down Third.
And no idea of the source of this miracle?
You know, sometimes it's better not to ask.
There you go.
So, yeah.
I was going to say, could you push a little towards the corner of Herbert?
All I know is it is welcome, but unexpected, and it did show some weaknesses we have. And like I said,
where are we at? 50?
Well, we were, last time we checked it, around 27.
Yeah, I know, we were pretty low.
And now I haven't put a gauge to it yet, but I do know every weak point we had succumbed. So,
wow.
Yeah, we lost the exhibit hall for 2 days, and then we lost, there were several old pipes under the parade grounds that gave way. And
by the way, in your research, is there a pressure under which the city will act immediately, or are they just, they're happy if it's above a certain amount?
The limit, I believe, that they are supposed to supply was somewhere around Third.
Okay.
But you could take readings at various places and get several different readings. So Lanny and I had discussed this on several occasions, and the places he took the readings weren't indicative of what we had at certain buildings. But again, we have it now.
Hmm.
And so we've been repairing lines for the last week, basically.
You should also know that it's possible to have too much.
Too much of a good thing.
Typical, like household appliances and so forth, if I recall correctly, are intended to run somewhere around a maximum of about 60, otherwise you start blowing the fittings and the appliances and so forth. So, in, at least in some cases, you have to actually reduce the pressure at the point of presence in order to have pressure within an acceptable range. Ideally, I think we'd like to see at the buildings about 50.
40 to 50 would be beautiful.
Would be beautiful at the buildings in terms of operating normal appliances and that type of thing. And so, I don't really care how we get there, if you will, per se, but Jack and I have talked about this before, and if we can get somewhere around 40, 50
we monitor,
we'd be in great shape.
We monitor the jail very closely, and it will vary between 40 and 60, so depending on the use and the time of day. So it fluctuates a bit.
But,
the new system I'm putting in for the water, since in order to be used for food, it needs to be above the ground level, which we don't have at this time. So the new system I'm putting in is will all be in 2-inch PEX, which it can withstand upwards of 200 PSI, so we'll be good there. And the new frost-free spigots, of course, are, I won't call them food grade, but they're a bit more expensive than your standard outdoor hose bib. And they self-purge after every use, so we don't have to worry about them freezing on the rare occasion that we do. They'll be good.
A few pennies spent now can save us a lot of dollars in the future. Adding, as Jack suggests, for instance, frost-proof outdoor spigots is an example of that. They cost a little more to install, but having not to worry about them breaking when we get the occasional freeze is a big
deal. They're expensive, but they're also reusable. If we ever did change the footprint, these can be relocated. So it's not lost.
But the cost of those is still going to be a lot cheaper than to have a plumber have to go out there and when it thaws and start replacing a bunch of them too.
Speaking of relocation, I want to thank whoever moved the sign at the corner of 3rd and Hardy so that it faces
diagonally.
Someone did move it, so I wanted to acknowledge that. And I also appreciate this on here, Tanya, that we now have the date staring at us every meeting. That's important.
Yes.
Do we have any other critical utility issues out there, Jack?
Not at the moment. No. We're still working on the electrical. I've identified a bunch of things we can take off that are actually adequate and working well. I'll come to you with the question of, do we want to upgrade the light in the exhibit? That will be expensive. But if we are looking at a 10 years out, it will be definitely an improvement.
I know I said it earlier, but I'm going to say it again, which is whatever it's going to take to make the site usable for this year's fair event. And I know that that's a number of months away, but I also know that it takes
for this
a while
event, the lighting is okay. But I could upgrade that entire system with LEDs or something to that effect that give you a, rather than these old humming T8s.
Is that critical?
It's not a critical improvement.
Okay, so I'm back again to the critical things we talked about.
Yeah, exterior lighting would be more pressing, I think, than interior.
We can include that. Yeah, that is included in what I plan to do.
What specifically are you talking about, exterior? Time?
We're going to move the exterior floods around to cover the area a little better. The ones that are up now are woefully inadequate, and we'll upgrade the fixtures so that they actually put out a little better quality and light.
Okay, so we'll be...
Not to the extent that we had originally discussed.
No, but you are talking about doing that in anticipation, though, of this year's event.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, exterior lighting and certain, once the sun starts to go down, we do have to have, if not good, at least...
Adequate.
Minimally adequate exterior lighting, so if you need to put up a few...
Key areas or something, where we know the vendors will...
And we can put up the kind that will be, if you will, down lighting so we don't have the neighbors screaming and hollering.
Okay. Yeah, much like I did on this east side of the courthouse. It's they're smaller, lower profile, but they put out a much better light.
Yeah. Get the job done, but don't offend the houses or cause problems with the houses next door.
Anything else on county staff update? I have two other things. One is... the issue of when we will officially be using the commons language.
Mr. Belmont, you indicated you wanted to do some kind of a action by the board that would memorialize our consensus to switch names.
Yeah. And I haven't done research on this.
Okay. And then once that's done, we want to start changing signage in the website.
Gotcha.
So if you can add that to your endless to-do list.
Let me ask you, just out of curiosity, in terms of transitioning, and actually this will probably affect the signage too, if you put Lincoln County Commons, are you going to want to put a parenthetical maybe that says either formerly or also known as the fairgrounds, so that there's at least some nexus?
Well, I would think on the website for sure.
I would say home of the Lincoln County Fair.
Or home of the
there
fair.
You go.
I was looking for that
there
kind
you
of
go.
Thing. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
That was looking for that linkage.
Okay. Yeah, right. The other point is that on May 19th,
yes,
I would like to hope that we could agree on a process that's going to start being a little bit more prescriptive about what it is that we want to do. We've kept it intentionally vague. And, it's no secret that I'm concerned that too much of the public thinks All we're about is building a convention center. And that's not the case.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know that we have a process in place that, even if it involves not a blue ribbon committee, but certainly a group of interested citizens and the board, where we sit down and, because there's going to be some compromises necessary. And I'd like to think we could do that within a formal process, whatever. I mean, I'm really asking you to help.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, on the one hand, if we just go out yet again and say, what do you think? What should we do with the property? We'll get everything from soup to nuts one more time. I want to have genuine public input, but at the same time, we have to say, here's some set of parameters based on our three previous rounds of public input, and what are the features and where, and look for unique ideas. I mean, like just this morning, some of us heard an idea that would the school district perhaps work with us, allow us to cover the football field and do equestrian events there instead of rebuilding an outdoor arena, and I don't know whether that's practical, whether this logistically practical, whether the school district would be open to it, but I think this is the time in the process to vet ideas like that.
Well, I think to some extent what Frank is referring to has in fact really already been done. Like we discussed it earlier, depending upon what happens on the vote.
Right.
On the 17th, basically is going to take us down one path and the other. The devil, of course, will be in the details, and we can do a process to discuss those details depending upon what happens.
Right.
On the vote.
That's the
issue.
But
in terms of the general course of the Commons, I think we've already pretty much decided it's either or. We just don't know which one of those paths we're going to pursue until we see the vote.
Right. I mean, I think we agree, and all the broad agreement is there that we need a multi-use grounds that is not only has utility for the traditional users, but for new users, and that will truly become a destination for both locals and visitors throughout the year. That, I think, is a pretty good way of summing up the consensus. But how do you get there? What are the features? What are the elements?
I agree with Frank that maybe we need to have some kind of an open discussion about this.
Or do we maybe
in terms of the general course we're going to pursue?
We know that.
Yeah.
But then I would like to suggest we at least think about bringing in a firm with expertise in facilitating design charrette type workshops to help us crystallize that vision, so it doesn't look like any of us are trying to drive a particular vision. And they're the kind of folks who have the real expertise in picking out the threads. Okay, well, here's the common thread that your idea A may seem incompatible with idea B, but here's some common threads. And what if we come up with C and everybody, or at least the majority of people, say, yes, that makes sense.
And can I suggest also the phasing? I mean, we've talked at length about the building itself, the kind of centerpiece building, and it timing for doing that. But we've got a lot of time between now and then to do both the planning you're talking about and then talk about the phasing. And we may be able to do some projects, before that time.
Right,
That encompass your visions.
Right.
I want to go back for just a second to the utility issues in light of what Jack said about he had increased water pressure and he's had to go and make some repairs out there. And so, again, in preparation for this year's fair, given that particular change, which we just now know about, I'd also like you to kind of look around, and if there happens to be something you see that needs to be done with respect to the water, so again, we don't have a problem with the fair, add that to your list, because We don't need a building flooded or something during the event either.
We don't want Whaley's water fountain to be a permanent fixture.
Yeah. In the floor of the exhibit hall or something. So,
although a water feature on our new comments would be wonderful.
But an intentional one, yes. Not an unintentional.
You know what I mean? If you come across something, it's one of those OMG moments that if I just leave this, we're running a substantial risk of a problem. Go ahead and fix it too.
Yeah.
I mean, again, my intent is that this event this year comes off without any significant utility issues. So, since you've got the increased water pressure,
if we have a weakness, it's been exposed. So,
good.
Like I was telling Amy, the water bill is going to be a little higher this month than.
We're ready to call and beg.
Yeah.
Well, again, I don't want any indecision on your part. If you come across something like that, fix it.
There's not much I can do for the Harney building, dude, other than cut concrete and redo ice.
Yeah,
and Harney's usage is not important anyway. The toilets store water and flush, and that's all that needs to happen. So I don't see that as
it's the exhibit hall that's the big issue, isn't it? And the barn.
But your barns will have more than adequate water this year.
But what are the chances that this water pressure increase is temporary?
Well, even if it is,
we are installing a new 2-inch line coming directly from the main.
Yeah.
So whether we have the pressure at the time, we will definitely have the volume.
You won't need to worry
about calling the fire department this year, I promise.
Okay, that's good to know.
Without getting into the minutiae of the engineering, the fact is if we increase the size of the line, we're going to help ourselves a lot, both in terms of volume and to some extent of pressure, because we'll have a decreased head loss and the rest of it.
And it'll be a dedicated service to the outside spigots. This new line is not connecting to any of those.
Yeah.
Well, the non-engineer perspective is judging how much more money the city is putting into that system, I think the water pressure is probably here for a while.
I think the system is getting tighter and tighter.
I understand what Todd's saying, but I would tell you that if they've got the pressure up there now, the odds of it going back down are pretty minimal.
Mm-hmm. The areas that failed were where we had 3 and 4 generations of cobbled together connections. And some of the pieces that we pulled out were astounding. We had pipe fittings and garden hoses, and it was just amazing. The old joke, the slipknot plumbing.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like the electrical.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm doing is I'm done with the baling wire and duct tape.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're basically been cutting out is baling wire and duct tape.
And no chewing gum either.
No chewing gum.
There you go. Okay, anything else for the good of the order? If not, we're adjourned.